This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you have federal student loans you're still paying off, you probably received an email recently that those payments, which were paused because of the pandemic, are set to resume February 1st. But there are some other student loan news that has many public sector workers, at least, hopeful about eliminating their loan debt. It's called the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, PSLF. It allows public sector workers to have their loans forgiven after they've made 120 payments, 10 years, and served 10 years in a public service job, like teacher, firefighter, or employee of a nonprofit organization. But the program's benefits have been elusive, and the Department of Education even referred to it as a largely unmet promise, because it can be difficult to navigate. Graduates have been frustrated and confused by it for years. Well, last month, the Department of Education announced reforms they hope will make it easier for public sector workers to have their loans forgiven. We're joined now by Eddie Brambilla, Managing Director of Capacity Development with the Illinois Student Assistance Commission. The state agency helps prospective college students navigate the financial aid process. It distributes MAP grants, the Illinois financial aid grants, and it also has a call center to help graduates get information. Eddie, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you. And I'd also like to welcome Kat Welbeck, Director of Advocacy with the Student Borrower Protection Center, a national nonprofit organization focused on alleviating student debt and advocating for student borrowers' rights. Kat, welcome to the 21st to you as well.
Thanks so much for having me. Really excited to be here.
And listeners, we also want to hear from you, especially if you are a public sector worker, maybe your partner's a public sector worker who's curious about this loan forgiveness program. Maybe you've tried to apply in the past even and have been frustrated with the process. Statistically speaking, most people who have applied in the past have been turned down so far. So we would love to hear from you. Our number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So, Kat, before we get into some of the changes announced to the PSLF program, let's talk a little bit about this reputation that I've been referring to. The benefits, as I said, have been pretty elusive. What do you hear from borrowers about it?
For sure, and I think you touched on it in your introduction. The promise of the public service loan forgiveness program should be pretty simple, right? 10 years of public service to your community and your student debt is forgiven. But what we've seen since the program was started in 2007, we've heard from borrowers all across the country that mismanagement by the Department of Education and what we've seen is what we would call abusive and harmful practices by student loan servicers have led public service workers being derailed from getting access to PSLF. So whether that's losing paperwork, giving borrowers the wrong information, or borrowers just being set back by really small administrative hurdles. So what we've seen now is that, like you said, most borrowers have been denied, 98% denial rate. Out of hundreds of thousands of military members with student debt until recently, only 124 have had their loans forgiven. So really, really big administrative failures with this program.
Eddie, is there a program that your agency was also asked about in the call center? Or I should say, is this a program that your agency was asked about in a call center that you all operate? And Eddie, you might be muted joining us by Zoom today, if you're still with us.
I am, sorry.
Okay, no problem. Happens all the time.
At the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, we receive a lot of phone calls, you know, pretty much anything related to financial aid. And as students were, in fact, approaching their tenure period or they wanted to get some more information, we were sort of like even though we don't hold the loans, those questions would come to us. And a lot of times it was just not understanding, you know, the repayment plans. Sometimes those students were put into the standard repayment plan. And so therefore, when they tried to apply, they realized those payments were not actually counting as qualified payments. So there's a lot of different things that were happening. But I think, you know, just like Kat said, it's the misinformation, sometimes students just not knowing, or, you know, borrowers not knowing the all of the lingo, all of the little things that had to be met in order to qualify.
Yeah, and I mean, the standard repayment plan, for example, is that, speaking of lingo, is that as opposed to the income plan? Or maybe you can talk about that, that difference. Yeah.
Yeah, so that, thank you. Yeah, that's a very clear one. So the standard repayment plan, you know, without doing anything at all, right? You finish college and you enter after your 6 month grace period, you are put into, unless you decide otherwise, you are put into the standard repayment plan. Basically, what this does is this divides up your loan and interest, and you'll pay it off in 120 months, so 10 years. That's the rate, and so. Unless you actively do something when you're entering repayment to choose another repayment plan, that's the one that everyone gets. That is not under, you know, before this change to the PSLF, that was not a qualifying payment. As you mentioned, the only qualifying payments were those that were under the income-driven repayment plan. And those were, it's the income contingent plan, the income-based repayment plan, the pay-as-you-earn repayment plan, and then the revised pay-as-you-earn repayment plan. All of those had little, you know, differences in discretionary income, how it was taken into consideration to determine your payment, but those were the only types of payment plans that would qualify for the PSLF.
Kat, maybe we can take a step back and just sort of think about and drive home for listeners who this plan was intended to help, right? I mean, this is, you go to a fancy law school, you come out with tens and tens of thousands of, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. It's pretty much impossible to take a job as like a public defender, say, right? And hope to pay off your debt in some reasonable amount of time. Can you talk about who this was meant to help?
Exactly. And I think, like, Brian, you're hitting the point so clearly, like, this program was really meant to really help people who say, you know, I'm going to get this degree, I'm going to take on this debt, but I actually want to use it to serve my community. So whether it's a teacher going to school to get more certification, like you said, if it's an attorney taking on potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt to represent low-income clients in a legal services job, or helping be a public defender, whether it's our librarians. I mean, so many, our nurses, so many people who are on the front lines during this pandemic. This was a bipartisan effort in Congress in 2007. So there really was this broad support saying that these are the people who are serving our communities, or even thinking about our servicemen members and our veterans. These are people who have literally committed their lives to serving our country. There is something that we can do to make sure that the burden of student debt doesn't keep them from being able to continue to do this work that uplifts our communities and our country.
So, Kat, what are some of the biggest changes to the program that you're excited about?
Yes, I'm very excited about these changes. Really what these changes do is that this overhaul makes it easier for public service workers to become eligible to qualify for public service loan forgiveness. So many student loan borrowers who are previously ineligible, as Eddie was just mentioning, because, you know, maybe they have the wrong loan, or they were making payments on the wrong payment plan, or were knocked off of track due to, like, you know, small processing errors, can now actually receive credit for loan forgiveness for the years that they worked in public service. So this means that, you know, many borrowers who previously were told that they were ineligible for public service loan forgiveness may now qualify for this credit for work that they've done since 2007. So for years, previous years of public service. And one thing we really, really want to note is that these changes are temporary and only in effect until October 31st, 2022. So we're really trying to make sure that borrowers know this and get this information as soon as possible so they can take action if necessary to be able to get the added payments to their public service loan forgiveness payment counts.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break here. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. We're speaking with Kat Welbeck, Director of Advocacy at the Student Borrower Protection Center. Also, Eddie Brambola, Managing Director of Capacity Development at the Illinois Student Assistance Commission. We would love to hear from you. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, especially if you work in public service. Do you have student debt? Do you hope to take advantage of this program? Or maybe you've tried and and had a lot of trouble, like a lot of other people have in the past. 800-222-9455. We're going to continue this conversation on the 21st. Stay with us.
Support comes from the Champaign Park District, presenting Renee Elise Goldsberry, original Broadway cast member from Hamilton, live in concert at the Virginia Theater on Saturday, November 6th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and more information are available online at thevirginia.org.
Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about an overhaul to the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, which has in the past been challenging, to say the least, for people who have applied. The idea is if you work 10 years in public service, like a teacher or maybe for a nonprofit, and you make 120 payments on your student loans, you could have the rest of your debt erased. We're talking about this with Kat Welbeck, Director of Advocacy at the Student Borrower Protection Center, and Eddie Brambilla, Managing Director of Capacity Development with the Illinois Student Assistance Commission. And so, Eddie, let me ask you, what types of workers in Illinois could qualify for this program?
Well, there's a lot. So the driver to this is your employer. So it is if you're a government employee, whether that's state, municipal, county, you know, any government employee, police officer, firefighter, teacher, nursing, anyone who works for a nonprofit, if you work for a college or university, as long as it's not a for-profit school. So it, I mean, it really is, it's a vast, it's a big group. It's a big group, and the easy way to find out is luckily, you know, the Department of Education does have a tool that as you're going out there on their website, studentaid.gov, there's an easy way to look for it because you can just click on the tool and you would put in your employer's EIN, the employment identification number that you usually find on the W-2s. And that goes to a database to match whether that employer is in fact a qualifying employer.
Have you heard about, or do you work with employers themselves who maybe try to help their employees take advantage of this program? You know, hospital systems, I'm imagining, or universities, for example?
Not in the past. You know, this is one of the things that we're excited about at the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, and particularly in my position where we work, you know, try to work with systems to have a, you know, scalable impact. But one of the things that we're planning is to reach out to government agencies, to all of these HR offices or, you know, benefits programs, so that we can be of assistance in helping them get the information out by way of providing either the materials that the Department of Education has or anything that we would provide, but to help them to understand the program and how to better help their students, their employees, previous borrowers who could potentially qualify for this this big change.
Let me remind our listeners, you're welcome to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. We would love to hear from you, especially if you work in public service in some capacity. I think you might qualify for this program if you have student debt. Or maybe you work in this field, but you know, you've paid off your student debt. We'd love to hear from you in your perspective as well. 800-222-9455 is the number to call. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us, like we heard from Jenny on Twitter, at 21st Show. She said, I applied in September and received forgiveness today. The program works. Kat, I'm guessing that's not something you heard a lot in the past about this program. What are the early returns on some of these changes? Are you starting to hear more positive experiences people having?
That's what we're starting to hear. And also, I just want to say congratulations to Jenny. That is Wonderful. That's what we love to hear. And so much of the same we've been, you know, hearing through Twitter or seeing different threads on Reddit, or, you know, even sometimes emails that we've been getting into our inbox about hearing stories about people seeing that their student loan debt was forgiven. So it's really amazing to see that, you know, as administration really made changes to the program and borrowers are starting to see benefits. So that's what we love to hear. So Jenny, congrats. That's such great news. And we hope to hear so many more.
So Kat, maybe there's somebody who's listening out there who thought, okay, I was a teacher for 6 years. Then I went to work for a nonprofit for a few years. You know, maybe I do qualify for this. What should someone do? What is the process to get started with this?
That's such a great question. We kind of have lay out a couple of questions that borrowers should know and things that they should do when they're trying to figure out, does this program apply to me? So first, determining where do you work? And Eddie just explained, how do you find this out? And so that's a really important thing. You determine if your employer qualifies, if you're working for a public service organization. Two, you need to know what type of loan do you have. So do you have a federal loan? So this public service loan forgiveness program is just for federal student loan borrowers. And then also what type of loan you might need to take some action to consolidate some older types of federal loans. And so just knowing what kind of action you need to take. And then third, making sure that you take action before October 31st, 2022. And also on our website, we have resources that kind of walk borrowers through each one of these steps and offer information on finding this out. So I'm happy to share that also, if that's helpful to any borrowers out there.
Sure. Yeah. And we can put a link to that on our website as well. Let me ask, is it 10 years of consecutive public sector work, or could you take a break and do it, you know, maybe go into the private sector for a few years and then go back to nonprofit and have it somehow cumulatively apply?
That's a great question. It does not have to be consecutive. So if you've worked a couple of years in public service, go into the private sector, or maybe temporarily or not working, and then go back into public service, you're able to add up those separate times together. They can be different employers, they can be different periods of time, but as long as you're able to prove that you had a public service employer, were making student loan payments and 120 payments. So this waiver process is really, really critical in being able to really, you know, bridge all that together.
And I guess across states, that doesn't matter, right? You could be in New York and then move to California or something, and it's still, as long as it's the right type of employer, that's what matters, because these are federal loans. Okay. Eddie, we talked a little bit earlier about the different payment plans. I wonder what you can also talk about the loan types, right? This program went in 2007. I mean, I'm a little older than the generation, and fortunately, student debt for me is a thing of the past, personally, but, you know, I know people who have like Perkins loans, for example. Can you talk about, you know, what is and is not eligible beyond just what we were talking earlier about this income-driven repayment plan?
Yes. So Kat hinted on that, but so there are different types of loans. You know, right now, and I think as of maybe the last 10, 11 years, every loan that has come out for students, any federal Stafford loan has been a direct loan, which means the Department of Education, the U.S. government, is the lender. Previous to that, there were two programs, and the other one was called the Family Federal Education Loan Program. So, you know, like in my generation, probably same as yours, we had the opportunity potentially to have our student loans from banks. And that was whether you worked with, you know, I don't know, any one of the private banks out there. And now, you know, your servicing is by other servicers who have those loans. Those are called FFELP loans. Those were not part of the PSLF program initially. So that's one of them. The other loan type, as you mentioned, is the Perkins loan. Perkins loan was sort of an institutional loan, right? You made your payments to the college or university you got the loan from. And so those two types of loans were not included in the public service loan forgiveness program. Through this waiver, they can be. And that's the key thing. Again, this window of opportunity is extremely important to take advantage of if you might fall into this category, because now, in order to make those loans eligible, you have to consolidate with the Department of Education. So you enter into a direct loan consolidation. You bring all of those loans. Now you can do, so you do FFELP and you do your Perkins loans. You combine them. You consolidate to get a direct loan consolidation. That loan is now eligible to be forgiven under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program.
And then do you have to start that 10-year clock over again if you do that consolidation?
No. Well, see, that's the beauty of it. This window allows you to do that and count any previous payment, regardless of what payment plan you were in since 2007. So, I mean, that's why this is a huge, huge game changer for any person who, you know, in the past, because they had a Perkins loan, because they had a FFELP loan and they had consolidated, those loans were not forgivable. They couldn't participate in the program. And if they did consolidate, even if, you know, if they did consolidate, anything that they did would start at number one again. That payment would start anew because it would be a new loan. As of for this program, anything you do between now and October of 2022 is just putting it all together to make people eligible. And that's, I think that's the great benefit of this change, is that it is intended to make those who were ineligible eligible. Restarting of any periods or anything of the sort.
Okay. And maybe we should just clarify, Perkins loans, low interest federal student loans for undergrads, grad students, but they have to have exceptional financial need, is my understanding.
Yeah.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce Eddie Brambilla, is with the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, Managing Director of Capacity Development there. We're also speaking with Kat Welbeck, Director of Advocacy at the Student Borrower Protection Center. About 5 minutes left in our conversation. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455 is the number. If you have a question about your loans, or maybe your partner's loans, or somebody else in your life who has student loans, is hoping to take advantage of this program, you have just a few minutes remaining. 800-222-9455 is the number. So Eddie, let me ask you just broadly, what is your advice for someone in Illinois if they think they might qualify for loan forgiveness?
That is the most important advice I can give. Apply. It really doesn't take longer than 10 to 15 minutes to go through the Department of Education's tool. Get out there. It'll walk you through the process. So it will ask you who you work for. If you wanted to add your employer, as Kat said, that's one of the most important steps to either who you worked for in the past or who you work for now, right? Because that'll count and certify your employer. But then it'll tell you, once you log in, it'll tell you what kind of loans do you have. And based on that, it will give you the option, you know, if you have loans that currently don't qualify, then you can start the consolidation process now. You're getting started, but it doesn't take, I've helped someone through the consolidation process already. It really doesn't take longer than 10 to 15 minutes to walk through that entire process to get started. Once you get in, there is a waiting period, and I'll tell you this because right now we're all on sort of hold. The Department of Education has not updated their system to count those previous payments that used to be ineligible. So there, you can work through it, and you can be ready to go. And then once the Department of Education updates their system and everything is counted, then they will, you know, work through that and start forgiving the loans that qualify already, or start applying those payments to a qualifying payment. One of the things as a big benefit, as a big boost I want to add here, is that what the Department of Education put out, if your loan has been forgiven, so let's just say your loan was forgiven, should have been forgiven 2 years ago, and now you qualify, right? So you put in all your information and your loan could have been forgiven 2 years ago. It will be forgiven, and any payment that you've made after that time that it was forgiven, you will receive. You will get a refund for that because you've already gotten that loan forgiven. So,
oh, interesting.
I mean, the advice is apply.
Apply. Okay.
The worst thing that could happen is, you know, you're not eligible, but the best thing is that you do.
Kat, about a minute left in our conversation. Any questions your organization still has about the plan and the updates?
Yeah, so that's one thing we're still waiting to see is we're still waiting for more information from the department about the waiver process. So they made this initial announcement October 6th, but we're still waiting to see if more information about, you know, borrowers clarifying some of the questions that borrowers have had trying to access the program, if those are going to come out. And then also just more permanent changes to the program. So we said that this waiver is temporary through October 30th, 2022, but we're also still waiting to see more permanent changes for public service loan forgiveness coming out of the department.
Kat Welbeck is with the Student Borrower Protection Center. We've also been speaking with Eddie Brambilla, who is with the Illinois Student Assistance Commission. Kat, Eddie, thank you so much for being with us to talk us through the changes to the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for our show today. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Briel Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I want to encourage you to sign up for our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, NPR One. Just search for The 21st. That's The 21st. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.